Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Fiscally responsible. Financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
One morning, my son, as he was getting dressed for school, he came to me with his toothbrush in his hand and his toothpaste in his hand, asking me to help him because it's like at the end of the tube so I can squeeze it out. And he had this really, really sad face. And I'm just like, what's going on, bud? What's happening? And he's just, Mommy, I had a bad dream. And tears started to come down his eyes. And I said, what's going on? And I said, do you want to talk about it? He said, no, I just had a really, 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 really bad dream. And I don't like it. I don't like it. It just had a bad dream. And I said to him, I said, sometimes I have bad dreams too. But what I have to tell myself when I wake up, it was just a dream. This is not real. Everybody is safe. I'm okay. You guys are okay. The family is okay. Now, the wisdom of the Lord helps us to understand as we get older, we can begin to search for his wisdom about the meaning of a dream. Now, my son, I wanted to ask him about, well, I did ask him about it, but he didn't want to talk, and I was not going to force the issue. And so, but there are times when we have moments in our lives where our body doesn't know the difference. It could be a dream. It could be bad news. It can be maybe something that is familiar of something of the past. And our body feels like it's going right back to where we were, right back to that vulnerable place, right back to feeling unsafe, right back to feeling in this place of like I can be attacked at any minute. But I want you to say to yourself, just like I had to tell my son and the Holy Spirit had to tell me to tell myself, I'm safe. I'm okay. I'm safe. I want you to know it's okay that you are safe. Let's talk. Welcome back. Welcome back. I am so thankful that you are here. Welcome back to Conquer Me Podcast. I am Jennifer Jefferson, the voice behind this podcast. Over here, we talk about the joys of developing a personal relationship with Jesus. Why? So we could be about our Father's business. So I just want to go straight into it. And this is the last episode of season 6. Oh my goodness. I cannot believe that I've been doing this for 6 seasons now, and the Lord is going to allow me to take a very, very long break. I don't know how long, but a very long break because I have school, business, work, family, and I want to come back when the Lord allows me to come back to be in a different place. I know for myself, I feel like I'm in another healing journey. And if anyone has ever experienced a portion of their life to where it just feels like God was just healing them and stripping them of so much stuff, you know that you're very, very sensitive and vulnerable to not only the process that he is allowing you to go through, but you're also very vulnerable to the atmosphere and the things that you do and the things that you hear. And as I was praying about this last episode, I was going to continue in my plan of just going straight and ending in Proverbs. I believe we ended in Proverbs 8, but the Lord wanted me just to encourage you all. And one of the gifts that God has given me is discernment and seasons. I can discern seasons. I can feel things in the atmosphere. So not only can I discern things from people, but specifically in the atmosphere. And even though as we are entering into a new month, March is around the corner. And so around this time, the sun starts to come out, things get warmer, and we begin to see things bloom, and we're walking into spring, but there's something in the air. And it's been in the air for a long time that makes people feel like, where is the hope? God, there's so much that's going on. Every time I turn on the news, every time I get on social media, there's some type of discourse. There's some type of violence. There's something that feels like there is a spirit that is working in people to strip away our humanity. I want to encourage you that you are safe. You are safe. Just like how I had to tell my son, and the Lord had to tell me to tell myself when I woke up in the middle of the night and this dream that I had was so real, where I felt my heart pounding. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, where you've had a dream that just literally startled you out of your sleep. The thing felt so real. And in the past, I would start saying, God, what was that? What is that? I need to start praying. I needed this and this, blah, 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 blah. Like I was panicking. But this last time, the Lord just told me, Jennifer, you're safe. Your children are home safe. Your husband is home safe. Everything is okay. Look around. Open your eyes. You're safe. And what is interesting, during this healing process that God has me on, He is rewiring the memory of my body. So there's a lot of specialists and doctors and people who are in like the physical space, meaning like physical therapy and even from Pilates, yoga, et cetera. They talk about how we can hold on to things within our bodies. You can hold on to trauma within your hips. Certain pains can actually mean something. It doesn't necessarily mean that there is a problem within the actual muscle, but it means that there is something mental and spiritually and emotionally that we're holding on to, right? And we see it a lot of times, and it's even to a point where we know that if people who have high stressful lives, they actually end up having heart attacks or stroke. And so it's interesting how all of this is tied together. And my niece was telling me about a book that is called The Body Keeps Score. I believe that's the name of the book. But it talks about the memory of our bodies. And it's been an interesting journey because I went through the healing process of therapy and really fasting and praying for some things. This was probably about 10 years ago where the Lord was releasing you. And I felt like the Lord was rewiring my mindset and my heart. A lot of things that I did not know that was in me, I needed to release. And there's some things that I knew. There's some trauma, some past issues that, and some things that I experienced where I said, Lord, I just want to deal with this. I know this is hindering me. I want to be free from this process, right? And I want us to be okay with the process of healing. I was listening to a message the other day, and he was coming from, I want to say, the book of Matthew, when Jesus healed the lepers. And in that story of the lepers, He told them to go show yourself to the priest. And as you read that story, you will see that the lepers were technically, Jesus didn't lay hands on them and say you were healed. The point of going to show yourself to the priest, to the Levites, was because during that time, they will look at you to see if you are clean. Remember, lepers of that time were considered unclean people. So they were literally cast out. They did not live with everyone else in society. But Jesus told them to go to the priests so they could examine you, so they could tell you that you are clean. But it was a process along the way of their healing. They were healed when Jesus walked into their presence because they stood up. They saw. Now, this disease literally is supposed to take everything from you. You're supposed to eat away not only at your flesh, but at your bones and your sight. But yet they saw him. They stood up and said, Master. So the moment that Jesus is in your presence, please know that you are healed. But sometimes we want the healing to be a quick 180. We want it to look completely different. God, I was feeling one pain in 1 minute. Now I don't feel any pain. Now, there are moments where God will do that. I will never dispute that. There are too many times when God will give you a miracle. But when we study the Bible and we look at our lives and we look at other people's lives in the faith, it's a journey. And in the journey, you have to keep reminding yourself that you are safe. Because when you are learning to walk again, when you're learning to think differently, when you're learning to see God differently, when you're learning to see people around you differently, you have to keep reminding yourself that I am safe. This moment is temporary. This moment is not eternal. What I'm seeing on the news, it is tough. No one's going to act like it's not tough, but it's temporary. But God, I know that if I trust in you, I know that if I stay faithful to you, I am safe. I know that if I stay in your will, I am safe. Isaiah 41:10 says this, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And I always want us to remember, anytime when we hear God say the right hand, remember Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
So we know that whatever we ask in the name of Jesus, it shall be. Right? So when you're like, God, I don't feel safe. God, I feel vulnerable. I feel open. You need to call on the name of Jesus. You need to ask him for wisdom and guidance in that moment. You need to ask him to increase your discernment. God, give me the strategy. God, I know that I'm praying for, let's say you're praying for finances, but God, is my integrity to a place where it will honor you? Where when I do have the finances, I will still glorify you. Have you ever thought about some of the things that God has not allowed you to receive yet? Maybe because he's so precious, where he understands that if I give this to you now, that you will take yourself out. I remember my brother, who is the pastor, he used to be our former pastor when we lived in Washington State. He said this, he said, everything is about timing and season. And his oldest son at the time was probably, I think, 13, 14. He said, if I give him keys to a car now, when he turns 16, I'm going to give him a car. But if I give him keys to a car now, at the age of 13, when he does not know how to drive, he doesn't have a license, no insurance, I am putting him in harm's way. But I have to allow him to develop and gain skills and have a certain level of maturity before he's behind the wheel. And you, when you think about that, now this is a parent. Most of us who are parents, we understand I can't give my kids what they want now because it will damage them, because they don't have the wisdom. They don't have the patience. They don't have what it takes to actually respect and model this. What if that's where you are in this season? What if you're in a place where God is saying, I will strengthen you and I will help you. Don't fear. Know that I am your God. And you may say, well, why is this happening? Because he says, I am your God. I know the beginning from the end. I know what you need more than what you think. Because you are safe. We have to have a mindset of wanting to live in the shelter of God. live in his protection. And a lot of times we have stepped out of his protection because of maybe impatience, maybe habits, maybe frustration. Maybe you got a little eager about something. Psalms 91, 1 through 2 says this, the NLT version, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God. I trust in him. I trust in him. I trust in him. Sometimes you have to tell yourself, say your name, I trust in him. Sometimes I have to tell myself, Jennifer, I trust in God. I trust in God to allow my heart to calm, to allow my body to ease. Body, line up with God so you can trust him. Because his ways are not your ways. Trust in the Lord God with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. And trust in a mind, line up with God. When's the last time you told yourself to line up with God? When's the last time you told your words to line up with God, your actions, your heart posture to line up with God? See, we have to remember that life and death is in the power of the tongue. So sometimes we're speaking what we want and we're speaking what we don't want, but we need to speak body, line up, because you trust in the Lord your God. You are safe in his arms. You are safe in his hand. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. We have to remember it is nothing but the blood of Jesus. So I trust in him. I want to encourage you to tell yourself every morning, in the afternoons and at night, when something comes to shake you, I trust in God. It is not I trust in me and my intellect and my degrees and my skill set. I trust in God. There is, because I'm getting back on my fitness journey, I've been really challenging myself physically. And it has been challenging. It's been hard. And I remember one of the classes, the teacher said, trust your body. And so for me, because, you know, here's the truth. When you study the word more and more and more, you begin to understand, I just can't say certain things, because the Bible says it is that is foolish for someone to say that they trust themselves. So I said, Lord, OK, I don't trust my body. And it's like, Jennifer, why? I know some of you may be thinking like, why is it that deep? Well, here's the thing, because if I take my trust off of God and I start putting in myself, where can that lead me to? So I have to say this. Here's a way that we can say, God, I trust in the body that you gave me. I trust the joints and the muscles that you're allowing me to build. I trust the stamina that you're allowing me to increase. I trust the heart that you gave me. I trust my lungs that you gave me. Do you understand how we can flip that back? So even in a job situation to where you're nervous and you're feeling insecure about something, God, I trust that you placed me in this position. And I trust that you have given me a mind that will solve this, that will allow the problem to be solved and allow me to even increase within my favor amongst the people here at work. And God, I thank you, because this will give you the glory and honor. God, you desire for me to be someone who is well in my job. God, my work, it shall honor you. The Bible tells us, let our hands honor God, let our work honor him. What if that's what we do when we go to the grocery store and the money is tight? God, I trust that you're giving me this budget. I'm going to stay within it. The things that I want, or the kids want, or my husband will want, I will have enough wisdom and strength through your grace to say, no, we're going to stick to a budget. But I also believe that, God, you will open the door to where a budget will not be something that will keep me bound, but it will also just keep me forward. God, I trust you. I trust in your knowledge. I trust in your wisdom. Because every time I say, God, I'm in your will. I'm in your will. I'm in your will. I am kept safe. Proverbs 29 and 25 says this, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe the reason why you don't feel safe in specific areas or in your life because maybe you don't trust God. If you're someone who looks at the news and what's happening, you're like, oh my goodness, the government is going crazy. And it's not just America that's having a lot of issues. It's a lot of countries that are having a lot of issues. The Bible tells us that the government sits on his shoulder. So who will I trust? Will I trust the one that is all in control? And hear me when I say all in control. And I've said this so many times that I'm going to say this again and again and again. God is all in control, but he is not controlling. What does that mean? His grace and his mercy, it allows him to restrain himself, because trust me, we don't want God to unleash on us. Even the blessings. Because the blessings can be overwhelming, where it can consume you. So when you say, God, I want all of the blessings, but God, I want it in your timing. I want it in your pace. I want it in your season. Have you ever seen someone receive something and, you know, they will say how, well, they'll say, oh, money. Money will highlight the person's character. So what happens if someone receives so much stuff in a place where they're not ready? Now their character is being exposed, when God was saying, I was trying to buffer that out in a quiet place where it was just you and I. When God is healing us, he's also buffering us. When scripture tells us iron sharpens irons, and that is in the book of Proverbs, iron sharpens irons, and so does a friend sharpen a friend. So yes, we have our natural friends, right? So we have those people that we call, that we love, that we hang out with, and they will help us along the way. That's our community, and we need that. But you know who is our number one friend? Christ. What did Jesus say? He said that I no longer call you servants, but I call you a friend. For a master does not reveal his secret to the servant. So when we talk about a friend,
you're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Iron sharpens iron. So it's friend after friend. My first friend is Christ. So the conversations that I need to have on a consistent basis need to start with Christ. It needs to be continuous. It needs to be daily with Jesus. And I'm not saying that I'm 100% on that, because there's plenty of times where I know I will get in my head. I will try to solve it myself. I will try to do it myself, or I'll call a loved one, vent to them. But every time when I stop to say, wait a minute, Jesus, help me. Where am I off on this? Or is it just a maturing time for me? Is it just a lesson for me, right? Is it something to where I need to change my gaze? I need to reshift the way I'm looking at things. So one of the things that the Lord has kept telling me over and over and over, to trust him. And I've learned that the areas where I felt unsafe was the areas where my trust in the Lord was weak. So Jennifer, how do we increase trust or gain trust? I don't know, however you want to phrase it. Number one, you have to remember who God is. Not just who God is for you, but who God is. You have to remember, he is the one that created heaven and earth. He is the one that created water while we're still trying to discover what is even in it. I believe they said we have not even tapped into, we've only tapped maybe into 20% of the world's water, if that. Like the depth of the ocean, we have not created a tool that is large enough, a submarine that can go all the way to the deepest parts of the ocean. We haven't created that. So we don't know what's down there. We don't know. He's the one that created the stars, all the planets, the galaxies. My mind was blown when I heard some years ago that a scientist discovered a planet that was Earth-like in galaxies that was millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions light years away. I was blown away by that because I remember as a child, because of technology and what scientists were able to discover at that time, that was like impossible. That wasn't real. Like what? Whatever you stand on the whole idea of artificial intelligence has been around for more than 40 years. But how artificial intelligence is now, imagine if someone who passed away in the 60s, 1960s, and they came back and now they are looking at cell phones, computers, all of the types of things, and they're looking at artificial intelligence. They're like, what is this? God is the one who gave human the ideas to create and be bigger. Now, the problem is humans, now we can take it and run with it in a positive way or in a negative way. So how do we trust God? Number one, remember who he is, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be our name. Remember him as a Father. Then I will challenge you to say, where don't you know him? Where do you really challenge or you need to discover God differently? Because the more I know of him, the more I can rest of him. And be okay with even saying, God, I struggle in this area. Can you prove yourself to me? When I say prove, I mean, God, show me your glory. Show me your miraculous power. Show me your grace. Show me something because I'm struggling here. God knows that you are struggling. Be honest. There is nothing that you can hide from him. There is nothing that you will say to him to where he said, I'm not fooling with you no more. No. His word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Why? Because he is everywhere. So he literally cannot leave you. And his heart posture is he will not forsake you. So ask more of him. Ask more of his character. Be relentless in finding out who God is. And then when you know more of him and you begin to study more in your word and you begin to get instructions, how you really gain trust is following him. There's a lot of people who believe but do not follow. And so I've noticed that folks who believe in God, but they really kind of control and manage their own lives. But the followers of Christ have said, I'm laying down my life and I'm taking up my cross and I'm going to follow you. Now, I'm not going to sit here and act like it's easy. Because I promise you, there's so many things in my life that I was like, I did not want to do. I was like, God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go this way. I don't want to go this route. I have this plan. And he's like, I see that. But I need you to do this. But God, what about this? I see that. But I need you to do this. I realized that more and more and more, I began to do the things that God has called me to do. My confidence increased. My assurance in my relationship in God increased. My faith increased, my joy, my peace. There was a calmness. I remember there was a time where there was a lot going on and there was this kind of an eerie calmness that was so over me. And my mind kept going to the scripture says that he will give you peace that surpasses all understanding that will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And the reason why I said eerie, because I remember people looking at me like, you should be bothered by this. And I remember to a point I was like, God, am I like detaching myself from reality? What is happening? But the Lord was letting me know, no, you are right where I need you to be. There was a stillness. And I realize, even as I'm talking to you now, to remain in this stillness of inner peace, STILL, and stillness, STEEL, over me, there is a certain depth and walk that I have to live. Certain things that other people can do, I just can't do. And that's just the reality of it. I don't look at them and say they should do what I do. No, I am very hyper-focused on where I am. And I ask God to keep me so narrowly focused on my path. Keep me, Lord, narrowly focused. Put blinders on me. Hide my peripheral. Let me see you. I want to press towards the high mark, which is in Christ Jesus. I want to look past all of this. I want to let go of the past. Lord, only things that I will focus on and see are the things that you called me to. Because see, the enemy will make you feel like you need to know this and that, and you need to do all these various things. And really what it is all distractions. But if you pray and say, God, allow my focus to be your focus. Allow me to only look at the things that you call me to look at. Let me be aware of what you've called me to be aware of. I promise you, the Lord will begin to change your focus. Now, here's the thing. You have to stay committed to that because we can easily walk out of that. See, the trust gets weakened and our safety gets weakened when we start to step away. When we start to do things in our own understanding. When we start to do things the way that we think we should, but we have to stay tethered to him. God, keep me at your feet. Holy Spirit, keep me so close to Christ. Lord, allow things to really irritate me that are not of you, where I realize, you know what, this ain't me. Y'all have it. I'm good. And then you can walk away. Allow the holy boldness be so clear on my mission, where my words are not indecisive. There is no confusion in how I walk. There is clarity even in my footsteps. There's clarity in my heart posture. There's clarity in my soul. Even if things don't look how I want them to look, I will trust you with all of my heart and lean not into my own understanding. And I will acknowledge you in all my ways and you will direct my path. It's the action part. We cannot forget this beautiful partnership that we have with Christ. Remember, I said earlier, iron sharpens iron. So does a friend sharpen as a friend. That's in Proverbs. But in New Testament, Jesus lets us know that he no longer calls us his servants, but he calls us his friend. How do I trust God? Seeking after him, being in communion with him. Having people around you that will help you to stay focused. But you have to do what God has called you to do. If God has placed on your heart for you, I'll give an example. One of the things that the Lord has placed on my heart for me to do is in the mornings, I have to write for about 45 minutes. And I drag my feet on it. I'm not going to act like I did. It was like dragging my feet because I was like, ugh. To be honest with you, I wanted to escape the responsibility. Escape the hard work. But the truth is, I know that every time, without a doubt, I've been walking with the Lord so long, and you would think that I would have it to the point where the Lord says, Jennifer, do this, you would do this. No, but the flesh is real. Being disciplined is not a one-time thing. It is an ongoing thing. Like I had to realize, girl, you know, it's not just losing the weight and working out until I reach a point. No. It is losing the weight, staying in shape, and eating right until I see Jesus, until I take my last breath. So the rest of my life, God, I have to be disciplined. For the rest of my life, I have to stay in my word. For the rest of my life, I have to pray so that I can hear his instructions. You would think someone who's been in ministry for about 20 years would have no issues with this, but we all have issues with it. Please, I don't care how long somebody, the flesh is still there. Paul says, even when I want to do good, evil is around me. The flesh is always telling me no. It can be something as simple as what I said. The Lord said, Jennifer, you need to write at this certain time for this amount of time every day. And I'm like, okay, let me find something else to do. Let me go ahead and scroll online for a little bit. Let me check these emails for a little bit. I was choosing that. So what happens when we choose things that are not of God? Do we delay our promise? Do we delay the blessings? Are we opening the crack a little bit more for certain struggles to creep right on back in? Thoughts to keep creep right on back in? We trust in the Lord because we want to do the things of God. It is not just saying I trust you, but it's actually following him. And whatever it is that God is telling you to do in your spirit, you know the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about what you need to do. During this time of break, like I said, I don't know. I'm in this different place where I don't know what God is truly. I know what he's doing, but I don't know what he's doing. But I'm kind of excited. I love what scripture says, deep calls into the deep. And it's some things that I was working on, and it was so interesting. And when you think about the deep and being in the deep of the waters and the depth of the waters, where God is calling you, sometimes we feel like we're so away, so far away from the things, but we're not. He's like, you're right there. I'm just calling you to surrender deeper. I'm calling you to choose me first a little bit faster. Your hesitation, at first you hesitated 2 weeks, now you're hesitating for 3 days. I know you're thinking like, well, is that better? Yes. Because we thank God for every step that we're taking on the water. Every step. People like to preach about Peter when he stepped on the water and he lost focus of Jesus and he started drowning. Baby, I commend him for even saying, God, Father, if that's you, Master, if that's you, bid me to come. How many people would even say, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. Remember, it was the middle of the night. It was storming. It was dark. They just saw an image and they're like, what is that? If that's you, bid me to come. Can you be bold enough to say, bid me to come? And can you be humble enough to ask for his hand if you start sinking in the water? Because see, what Jesus did not do, he didn't sit there and berate him and say, look at you for not believing. Look at you for messing up again. Look at you. He stretched out and grabbed his hand. And then Jesus walked back with him to the water. He will never leave you. Into the boat, I mean. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. For you are safe. We are safe in his arms. I pray this has encouraged you. I pray that you have received something, that you are safe in his arms. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When we have the blood of Jesus, we are safe. Doesn't matter what chaos is around us. Doesn't matter what news is around us. We have to know that I am safe because my safety is based on my trust. I will trust in him and I have safety in him. He is my refuge. He is my resting place. Because we believe in him, because we trust him, we will have our hearts open to the guidance of him, to the direction of him. He will lead us and guide us in everything that we ask him to. Remember, you are safe. Remember to trust him. Lord, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for allowing us to know and you giving us this reminder that we are safe. We are safe. I can breathe. I can exhale. I can relax. That's what we have to start saying. When life makes us tense and frustrated and our ambition wants us to run faster than what we want to, and than what we should really. And our ambition makes us impatient. We look at our bank account and we're like, oh, it's not what it is, what I want it to be. Or we look at it and we're like, God, I thank you. This is marvelous. This is wonderful. God, let us still have a heart posture. Thank you. Even as the things increase, let us say thank you. Let us not become so attached to it to where if you call for us to give generously, that causes us to be stretched. It is out of our comfort zone that we will become resistant. We don't want to become resistant to your will. But we thank God for your grace. We thank God that you know that we're not perfect. We want to show up in a beautiful 100% way, but sometimes, God, we are falling short. Your word tells us that all have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. All of us. Why? Because of sin. Because we're in a fallen world. But this is why you sent your son. This is why we're so thankful for the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious. Oh, precious is his blood. Let us not forget it. Let us not only remember the blood of Jesus when we take communion at church, but let us remember your blood on a consistent basis. Let us remember the sacrifices that you have made on a consistent basis. Let us have moments where we just think about the suffering and the resurrection of you and the life of Jesus. So we will not take any of this for granted. And thank you, Lord, for the access that Christ has given us. Because we have Jesus, we have access to all of it, to your kingdom. And you rejoice every time your children are home and resting and moving and thriving and living in you because you are our refuge. You are our resting place. You are our protection. You are our King, the King's Lord of Lords. You are our everything. We thank you for that. And God, if there's someone right now who needs Jesus to be their Savior because they're like, I don't feel safe in this world, Jesus can give you safety. He can teach you how to trust in our Father. If you want to be saved, I want you to repeat after me and say this. Lord, I repent of my sins. I believe that you died and rose for me. I accept you as my Savior. If you believe that, if you have said that you are saved, heaven is rejoicing. We are rejoicing. We are thankful. And we are saying, hallelujah, another one has come home. I encourage each and every one of us to find a church home, find a Bible study group, a community, something. We have to be in community. We cannot do this alone. God did not require for us to do this alone. He does not desire for us to do this alone. We see in the Bible over and over and over and over where God was calling for another person to come along to help you. And then it came and just turned into a group and the group into a nation. Okay? So God wants us to, because that's how when we come together, we're able to be fruitful and multiply. Let's look beyond just being fruitful and multiplying as in children. But what happens when two like-minded people come together and build something for the kingdom? What can they do with God as their center? I love each and every one of you. As you look for a church home, I always say be patient with others as you would like for people to be patient with you. The church home should be full of God's grace and love and full of his word. Let it be Jesus-centered and love surrounded. Okay? Love each and every one of you, and I will speak to you when the Lord tells me to come on back. Have a great one.